Ladies and gentlemen, it's 10 dozen minutes of spawning children with Jake and Mr. Scullett. I'm Mr. Scullett. We got Jake on the line, I hope. Do we? I don't know. Hey, Jake.
You're hey, right? Whoops. Yeah. Sorry about that. I was talking with my mic muted.
Ah, I see.
You started that out with a lot of enthusiastic theatrics, but then you kind of petered out like I always do.
Huh. Well, I've studied with a master's. What can I say?
Yeah, it's true. You have a master's, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Nobody calls me master, though, which was kind of disappointing. You know, if somebody has a doctorate, you call them doctor. But nobody calls me Master Knight.
Master Knight.
Which is probably for the best, now that I think about it.
I can start calling you that if you want.
I don't know. I would think that was something that would be something that I wouldn't be able to masturbate to. And you would have to mack it again.
So, yeah. Anything exciting happened to you in the last couple weeks?
Nothing major. We went to the hospital. Jess was having some abdominal distress, some kind of lady troubles, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they removed a pretty sizable parasite from her. So it survived the operation, so apparently that means we're responsible for it until it is able to care for itself.
I see.
So we're keeping an eye on the thing. Yeah, the kid's ridiculously cute, and he is a real person as of today. He got his social security card in the mail.
Ooh.
So he can get a job. He has a Gmail account, a YouTube account, and a blog. So he's more set up than I am. I'm not putting him on Twitter yet because that would just be like woke up, cried, pooped, you know, and just about anybody can have that Twitter. I wouldn't think that would be very special.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean every day I wake up, cry and poop.
Mm. Maybe you're pooping too hard.
Well, that's what causes me to cry before I poop.
Like this is gonna hurt.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. So yeah, that's cool. Is the kid still at that stage where his poop does not stink because he's not eating real food?
That is that's something that on a different radio show I'd probably rant about for a while.
Is that just some bullshit that vegetarians make up?
It's some bullshit that La Leche League makes up. There's a whole lot of propaganda surrounding breastfeeding. Because it is good for kids to do, it's the best thing for a baby and all that. But to get women to do it, they just tell them lies. Like, his poop won't smell because he's breastfeeding. Lies. Damned lies.
Yeah.
Like, breastfeeding is only painful if you're doing it wrong. Damn lies.
Huh.
But, you know, still the best thing for the kid, but it was kind of disheartening when we were trying to figure out why is this hurting Jess so bad, and all they would say is, you're doing it wrong.
Hmm.
And it turned out she wasn't. It just sometimes it hurts. But yeah, and the poop is pretty stinky. But it's orange, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Hmm. It keeps my brain from processing it as poop, though.
Huh. It's not like the fact that it is your child is what keeps your brain from processing it as poop.
Right. It's just that it's orange.
Like, I feel like something happens to people when they have kids that makes it so, like, they will see some food, like, fall out of somebody else's mouth and then they'll eat it.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Yeah.
And because it's their kid, it's like it's their own mouth.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do any of that. I don't know if I'm going to be like pre-chewing food and... I've seen women do that for kids, like treat them like little baby birds.
I saw my grandmother do that for my grandfather once.
Wow.
And that is why I can never again eat yogurt-covered pretzels.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty foul.
You know, and it wasn't even... He just didn't like wearing his dentures.
So it was entirely unnecessary as well as disgusting.
Yeah, yep. God. God damn. Yuck.
Yeah.
Ugh. And you know, I like my grandma.
Well, yeah, you know, that doesn't mean you like her any less, but you find it repulsive that she's pre-chewing food for somebody.
Yes, that's the truth.
That would be a special kind of love. groovy kind of love. Yeah, so I'm doing my best to not turn into the guy with a new baby guy. So I'm going to try and limit the baby talk or talking about the baby to a minimum.
I was going to say, I feel like you usually tend to limit the baby talk when you and I are having a conversation.
Well, at least on the radio. I haven't called you Snoogie Woogums in a long time.
And that's true. Are you going to vehemently avoid saying gaga goo goo to your child so that the child will learn to speak properly?
It turns out I don't have to avoid it. I get a really weird accent kind of when I'm talking to him, but it's we tend to talk in complete sentences. He doesn't say much.
Right.
The main problem that we're having now is keeping people from dressing him in fucking hideous clothing. He's like 80% of kids' clothing is just fucking hideous.
So keeping people from, like, buying it for you?
Yeah. Not keeping them from buying it, but trying to discourage them without hurting any feelings. So I pulled this garment out of a bag, and it was blue. Half of it was covered in polka dots of various colors. The other half was covered in, like, this giant applique of a dog, and then, like, I Heart Mommy in, like, Comic Sans.
Sounds pretty cool.
Footed pajamas, and the feet were little puppy dogs, and then it had little pink bows on it and little pink lacing around the edges of it. And the person who bought it for me said, yeah, this looked pretty gender neutral. I was like, stop trying to turn my child gay. He's not going to need any help.
Yeah. Not with a dad like you.
No. So I'm 80% gay. The wife is probably 90% gay, so...
She's 90% into dudes.
Yeah. No, she's 90% into chicks. She only likes me because I'm basically a girl.
Right. Sinead O'Connor.
Sinead O'Connor's basically a girl?
Yeah. So... I got back from Boston. I got back from Boston and I had a playing catch up trying to get the next underwater zone out. Again, just it's off until the last couple of days where I cannot realistically get anyone else to help me with it.
Right.
So that happened. And then while I was in Boston, my wife was trying to get a bunch of stuff done on the house while there were fewer people there in whose way for it to be, but didn't work out that way. So all weekend they were putting tile in the replacing the carpet in the bathrooms, which is something that we've been meaning to do since we got the place. And then while all that shit was moved, we decided that we'd also been meaning to get the bedroom painted. So then Sunday, last night I had to move everything out of the bedroom.
Yeah.
Like two desks completely set up with computers and everything, bed, two completely full bookshelves, a bunch of art on the walls, nightstands. Anyway, supposedly the room looks pretty good. I haven't seen it yet. So I get to go home and do all that again.
Yeah, that was fun, putting the new floor in the bedroom before the baby showed up. Pretty much moving everything around to get it out of my way and doing a section of floor and then moving it all onto that section of floor. And, yeah. Furniture sucks. I think I'm going to suspend everything from the ceiling.
You should get furniture that's footprint is that of Tetris pieces.
Because
you'd be better at arranging them into small amounts of space.
Well, the problem is you do that and they disappear. Then you have to get new furniture.
True. Just like half of your... half of your couch vanishes because you put it next to two end tables.
I have to say,
anything,
I think...
have you been doing anything other than raising children?
I do think that in the first week of this kid's life, I did more work in Kingdom than I did in the couple of weeks prior.
I saw you a lot. What I imagine is that if you have a kid that sleeps a lot, you are all fired up to have to spend a lot of time on it, and then it ends up being really boring, and you have a ton of free time.
Well, I think it's more that, given that he doesn't really require attention at this point, I can hold him, which is nice, and then I can also be on the computer, too. And that first week, Jess's mom was here, so all of the like the house cleaning and laundry and meals. She was doing all that stuff because she was kind of afraid to hold the baby. So it was pretty much just sitting around at home with nothing to do except, you know, hang out with my son and be on the computer. And it seems like that's going to continue for at least the foreseeable future until he gets a little more mobile.
I see. So you actually hold the kid while you're using the computer?
Yeah, I have a picture of one of the first pictures they took of him when he came home is me with him on the him on my chest and then the laptop on the arm of the chair.
I see. Is that on your Flickr?
It's on my Flickr, yeah. I didn't make Oliver a Flickr account. I just gave him a set on my Flickr, but he does have his own blog. I blog for him in the first person, and the first post is like, this is going to be kind of lame and not at all what the hip kids do, but I'm going to blog as if I am the child. Huh. It's an art experiment, Jack. That's what it is.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a good one?
I like it.
Are you going for Andy Warhol, or are you going for, like, Thomas Kincaid?
I'm going for a blend of the two. Like, if Thomas Kincaid painted Campbell soup cans.
That were glowing from the inside?
Yeah, lit with some kind of interior light. He is the painter of light, you know.
Yeah.
I think he started as the painter of pictures. And you know, people were like, oh, that's not very special or specific. And he's like, okay, how about painter of paintings? Like, again, that could describe many people.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you know, I have a lot of yellow paint and white paint. I'll be the painter of fucking light. We're gonna come out and take a bold stand against Thomas Kincaid here on the Jake and Skullhead show.
Yeah, because nobody ever criticizes him for
right. Yeah, fuck that guy. And Britney Spears is not very indie rock, too. Just saying. Somebody had to say it.
Britney Spears somebody seems to have leashed her, and it's as though the last couple of years didn't happen.
I have to say, in her new video, she's appreciably nude.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that the one where she's all, like, taking a shower and stuff?
She's, like, in a steam room all riding around all nude. I was like, huh, you're nude. I think I'm just going to keep saying nude.
Yep. Landar had said a few days ago, hey, Scully, you're a vulgarian, you fuck.
Yeah, that's true. That's the nice thing about the kid not being able to speak English yet.
Yeah.
He's like, what the fuck are you doing? You're like a crazy person.
You fucking baby.
Yeah, what the fuck, baby? Fuck you, I just changed you. Why are you crying, motherfucker? As long as you keep the tone, you know, so it's more like, fuck you, I just changed you. Why the fuck are you crying? Oh.
Do you suppose you're actually going to stop swearing around the baby once the baby begins to speak?
I think so. I have that same thing you do, where I'm kind of uncomfortable swearing around other people's children, even if they say it's okay. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine swearing around my kids. Kid.
Yeah, see, I feel like that wouldn't kick in for me around my own kids.
Hmm. Because you're doing it more for the parent and not for the kid, yeah? You're more concerned about the social faux pas than...
Well, no, I mean, I'm concerned about, like, the main thing is to make sure that the kid understands what I feel like I understand about language in general, like, that there is a sort of a different mode of speaking when you're around people that you know you can trust, as opposed to when you're around people who, you know, like, I don't necessarily think, like, okay, I have a responsibility to not talk about politics around the people that I know who are, you know, far right wing because I might offend them with my views. It's just that I'm not in the mood for a political argument, so right. I just need to remember to not be really forthcoming about specific things or whatever. Like, and I feel like cussing around other people's kids when I'm just assuming that their parents cuss around them diminishes that sense of there being a difference between those two things. And I don't necessarily feel like that particular distinction is all that useful, but distinctions in that category are useful. And so I like to reinforce their existence, I guess.
Right.
That's how I feel about that.
That makes perfect sense, Mr. Gump.
Have you seen The Curious Case of Benjamin Button?
I haven't, and it looked interesting in trailers, but now that I've seen the Forrest Gump Benjamin Button parallel video, it's like, meh. It's starting to look like that Beautiful Mind category of movie where the Academy kind of masturbates over it, and it's just kind of that one movie just with a different lead character.
Right. I have to say that I kind of like The Beautiful Mind.
I know. We've talked about
it. I understand that that's not the right way for me to feel, given who I am, what I think about other things, but, like...
There were parts of that. Like, the whole... any scene with Ed Harris in it. That was interesting. Like, the crazy roommate guy. That was interesting. But everything that attempted to be uplifting and redemptive and revelatory and all of that stuff was just, it was entirely too standard.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't really before. I just sort of don't care about those parts of movies, you know?
Like the big scene at the end where, oh, he's finally vindicated for his entire life of being fucking crazy. Like, I'll bet that totally happened.
Yeah, no, I mean, that, I don't care about that. No, I mean, I like the part where they discover his little workshop with all the crazy shit on the walls, you know? I don't know. Yeah, I haven't seen it either, and I don't think I'm going to. I ask because I think Hot Stuff is going to go see it while we're on the radio.
I'm excited that Coraline is coming out. Like, the release of Coraline corresponds with my parents visiting. So we can go, hey, it's good to see you, Mom and Dad. Your first task as grandparents is to watch our child while we go see Coraline.
That's cool.
Yeah. Then we just have to figure out how to get someone to watch her for Watchmen. Who watches
her for Watchmen?
Watch him. My child is a boy. Who watches him while we're watching the Watchmen? Watcher?
We were talking about me and the pretentious artist in Zlyania today. We're talking about the Watchmen movie and whether or not it will be any good.
My hopes are high.
Roy was afraid that it is sort of entirely possible that it will sort of fail for everyone. Like, it will be far enough away from the book that the sort of, like, you know, Watchmen pedagogues won't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But it will be close enough to the book that normal audiences will think it's boring.
I think that what we'll end up with is a, say, like 2.5 hour cut, theatrically released, that will somewhat placate the people who really love the novel and entertain people who haven't read it. And then on DVD we'll get a 4 hour cut for the completionist.
Really?
Yeah, that seems to be what he's going for, is the whole Peter Jackson thing. Like, I have to make this into a movie that people other than Tolkien fans are going to watch, but then we'll give the super fans what they want.
And we sort of had that, we made that comparison, and I felt like even doing exactly what Peter Jackson did with Lord of the Rings, there is still more opportunity to fail in this case, because for every like Tolkien purist who is all like, this sucked because there was no Tom Bombadil in it,
mm-hmm.
there are probably 10 like assholes who are really into the Watchmen.
Right.
Like, I feel like it's just gonna have a higher like, it's catchy contingent than Tolkien.
I mean, part of the reason that I believe that the movie is going to be better than people think it is because I think people overrate Watchmen a little bit. Like, it's a fantastic graphic novel, but to say it's unfilmable because he did things that are so specific to the graphic novel format that you could never bring to film. It's so dense and so rich that it could never be filmed. That's bullshit.
Yeah, that kind of is bullshit. I mean, I feel like you could probably make exactly the same argument about any comic book or any book, right? Mm-hmm. With the exception of something like Fight Club that the book just reads like a screenplay.
Right.
Right. You know, I mean, I feel like that was one case where the book was better than, or where the movie was better than the book. And I've heard a lot of people say the same thing about High Fidelity.
I don't know. I read High Fidelity, and it actually, I probably would have enjoyed the book less had the movie not existed. So, yeah, you got a point there.
I've tried a couple times to just flip Trainspotting open to a random page and read it. And I feel like I would definitely rather watch the movie as many times as it would take to take up the amount of time it would take to read the book than read the book. But I don't know. Watchmen, I thought, was okay. You know, there were some good parts, and there were some parts that I very much did not care about. There were a lot of characters that I just felt were sort of boring. You know, maybe they were important for establishing the sort of world and the history that I didn't particularly care about. You know, trying to read it as metaphor is not something that I'm interested in.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of the things, what Roy pointed out was you have to take into account when it came out, right? Like the Beatles. You can't really judge the Beatles on their merits individually. The same way with a lot of, you know, like Mondrian or whatever, you know? It's the like multiple threads going on in the same panel thing with like the pirate story superimposed over the normal story, like just stuff like that that had really never been done before, apparently. I don't know enough about comics to really know. But I mean, it predated Sandman, didn't it? By a little bit. So, you know, I mean, who's to say? Like, maybe it really did break new ground that allowed comics to be about things other than superheroes.
And I think it's a really interesting deconstruction of superhero lore, for sure. But that guy Will that we ran into at Comic-Con who said Neil Gaiman is kind of a second-rate Alan Moore to me, and I could not disagree with that more. Like, Watchmen definitely did, it was a comic book about superhero comic books in a really interesting way, but The Sandman is a comic book about the nature of story and the history of mythology and bringing in so much more than what's in Watchmen. So,
yeah, the thing is, I don't know
Neil
that
Gaiman's
I would.
Not as much of a giant douchebag as Alan Moore is. So
sure,
easier to like.
Sure, but I think that partially because of his sort of kind of chronic lack of any pretense, it is easy to think of Neil Gaiman stuff as just being like sort of entertainment and not having a lot of literary value. Right? And I mean, it's like, oh, okay, so The Watchmen is kind of boring, like all of the books that we read in high school that supposedly have literary merit that were kind of boring, right?
Yeah.
And not like, you know, Forgotten Realms books that we were reading for fun, right? So, and you know, I'm not saying that Neil Gaiman doesn't have stuff to say, but I'm saying he, like, I don't think Neil Gaiman cares whether or not he's an artist, right? Like, he's just having fun, and he wants other people to have fun. As opposed to Alan Moore, who seems like...
Yeah, there's definitely a level of pretense there. For the record, I didn't think Watchmen was boring, but I think that it's like, Alan Moore would probably go on for an hour about how important Watchmen is, and I would disagree with a lot of what he said about it. So, that whole...
What else has Alan Moore done?
A V for Vendetta, which was pretty interesting.
I've never read that or seen the movie.
He did that, those three giant volumes of porn that your wife has and that she bought for me.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, which I still haven't finished because it's not really a book you can read in public, in company, or around anybody else.
At all. Yeah, I mean, I just don't like the artwork in it. It looks like it is drawn by somebody who is just not quite good enough to get paid for art.
You do get a lot of that more. Yeah. Anyway, well, we're half an hour into the show. Should we do some do some Kingdom
Quest? No, we can. I think I get Alan Moore and Warren Ellis mixed up in my head.
Huh. Warren Ellis. I get Warren Ellis and Garth Ennis mixed up in my head.
Oh.
Warren Ellis is Transmetropolitan.
Yeah.
Garth Ennis is Preacher.
Transmetropolitan and then a bunch of other stuff that I don't know anything about.
Yeah.
So maybe it's good. Okay. Yeah. Let's see what we're doing on the questions here. Work-wise, the underwater zone is basically all been working on the first dump of content into a underused vector.
Mm.
Today, all I did was clean out my Kmail box and my Gmail box. And I guess I could go home and clean out my snail mailbox for the trifecta. But probably not going to do that. I'm probably going to go home and be like, gosh, I'm really tired. Because also, I finally rode my bike in again today. Like, it had been, you know, probably 10 days since the last time I rode my bike. So I was, like, really tired when I got here. And I'm going to be really fucking tired when I get home. And I'm going to think, oh, boy, it sure would be nice to just lay down on a, oh, yeah. Gotta move my fucking bed in from this other room and set that all up. First, let me check my email out. Oh, yeah. Gotta bring my fucking desk in from the other room and set that all up. That's gonna suck. So I'm gonna be like, fuck the mailbox. No way am I spending any time on that bullshit. That's what's gonna happen when I get home.
Were you planning on saying that out loud or quietly?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Gotcha.
Gleeb says, please put some Chain Chomp in the 8-bit realm. Did Chain Chomp debut in, I almost said Star Trek 3.
No.
No, it did not. Did Chain Chomp appear, was that one of the things that came from the, like, Doki Doki Panic Super Mario 2, or was that originally in Super Mario 3?
I think it was in 2. I could be wrong, but I'm decently sure that it was.
I wonder if there are Wikipedia articles for... Yes, there are. No, it's just a section of... No? What is this a section of? Enemies in the Mario series. It was introduced in Super Mario Bros. 3.
Oh.
Wow. Remember when we were younger and we would wonder something and not immediately, like without even skipping a beat in conversation, be able to just know the answer to everything?
It's hard to explain that to people. Like, the when we used to go, oh, is that guy who was in that other movie? And we would, like, search the entire credits of the movie, like, watch the whole credit sequence to find out.
And then, even then, it only worked if you remembered the guy's name.
Yeah.
You know? Remember how hard it was to get porn when we were kids?
Yeah. I'm still waiting to see what happens to the first generation that had so much porn so readily available from the time they were interested in watching porn.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a bad thing or a good thing or just a thing. I mean, it's undeniable that times have changed since I would steal the Playboy from the rack in the convenience store and rush to the back to read it and then run home to masturbate, you know.
Because
I didn't want to steal the magazine from the store.
Right, because you would end up just leaving it out somewhere at your house and your mom would find
it. Boy, I'm glad you're around to remind me of shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was lucky. I had a buddy when I was in high school who was old enough and willing to just buy porn. So, yeah. But before that, man, it was like that Penny Arcade. That Penny Arcade was pretty spot on.
Which Penny Arcade?
There was just one where they're sitting on a park bench talking about this kid walking by and how he can just have porn whenever he wants and reminiscing about how hard it was to get porn back in their day. You know. He had a picture of a vagina that was so old that you couldn't even tell what it was anymore. His mom found it and he was all scared, but then it didn't matter because she just thought it was an Arby's ad. Pretty Queezer says, me and my 217 turns and an empty stomach humbly request a couple more options for things to do while drunk, or more things to do in Denver when you're dead. Can't get enough of those either. I don't think Pretty Queezer lives in Denver anymore.
I don't think Prendiquezer's dead anymore either.
That's probably true. Poor guy. Over drinking. I feel like with all of these nifty interface enhancements, it's easier than ever to drink too much. Linguini Lad suggests as a meat sink idea and name Scully's kid contest.
He's got a name. Did you see that somebody created an account, baby_skullhead, like within minutes of me posting in the of your Twitter post?
Huh.
And then sent me a message that said, "Hey, dude, please don't disable this account." To which I replied, "Thank you for bringing this account to my attention so I can disable it."
Nah, nobody can ever make a baby skullhead.
Nope. I'll do like an Oliver or something. Once we come up with a good nickname for him, we'll put it on there.
I'm surprised that... I'm surprised that I created an alternate version of the character creation script that now makes it so I can't ever tab complete create player.php. I think that you can't actually create an account with Skullhead, S-K-U-L-L-H-E-A-D, in it. So I wonder if it was like Squealhead or something.
It must have been.
I don't know. Linguini Lad also says, so maybe I missed something from last show, but what kind of drink were you guys making out of lemon zest and alcohol? Well, I mean, we're making, it's not just like rubbing alcohol. We're making limoncello, which is just going to, so you take some vodka, you put it in a jar filled completely with lemon zest. It takes fucking hours to zest that many lemons. But I got lemons literally coming out of my ass.
Literally.
Giant tree in the backyard that just gets so laden with lemons that giant branches fall off of it if we don't pick the lemons. And they're just these giant, delicious, sweet lemons. It's nuts. I'll never want for lemons again. And really, there'll be like a couple days a year when I'm like, woo, lemons! And then 363 days where I'm like, god damn, I'm tired of lemons.
Right.
It's really a mixed blessing.
It's like I made lemonade, and I'm done.
Fill jars with lemon zest. Pour vodka into some of them and Everclear into some of them because we're experimenting. Also, various amounts of zest in each one. Some of the jars are 2/3 filled with zest and some of them are 1/3 filled with zest. They're all labeled for proper science purposes. So you do that, you leave it for a few weeks, then you mix it half and half with sugar water and leave that for a while, and then you've got limoncello, apparently. I don't know if that's actually how they make limoncello, but... you know, limoncello is pretty good. It's mostly just a fun project.
Limoncello is pretty tasty.
First time we ever had it was when I was in Italy with my mom. And then when we were in Italy at Epcot Center, we had some limoncello.
And at our wedding, at our rehearsal dinner. It was the first time I had it. It was delicious.
A rehearsal dinner.
Yeah, we had to make sure we knew how to have dinner, because it would have been really embarrassing to get married and then go go to have the dinner at the reception and have all of us just kind of like stabbing ourselves in the face with forks.
Oh, right. Rehearsal dinner for a wedding. Okay. I was thinking that rehearsal dinner was something for, like, a play. And I was like, they gave you booze in high school? Damn, I should have been in drama. Though I was, I knew even then that I should save the drama for Obama.
Probably.
You feel any different now that we've got an Obama president?
I it was surprising watching the inauguration how I didn't roll my eyes and get all pissed off at the fluttering flags and the amber waves of grain and like super patriotic montage they were playing while Aretha Franklin was singing. Like, I actually do have some kind of pride in my country at this point because it's that imagery is no longer co-opted by a political party. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
I liked his speech. Because it
his speech was pretty fucking good.
It was really surprisingly substantive instead of like, things suck and we're going to fix them. It was like he was still trying to get elected.
Yeah. He was talking about makers and doers who toil in obscurity like us, Mr. Skullhead.
Do we toil?
This president understands us and understands that we're not being taxed nearly enough.
True.
I'm really curious as to what's going to happen. I'm really curious as to whether things will end up better or worse for us. You know, is the amount of tax the company pays going to go up? Are we going to get incentives because we already pay for everybody's health insurance? Like, I'm really curious to see how the next few years pan out.
Yeah. And I'm kind of sanguine, I guess, about taxes. I don't really care if I have to pay a little more tax. I care about the priority shift, and I'm hoping that that is as advertised.
Yeah, I mean, if
trying to make government run more efficiently so you can spend money on things that will help down the road, like energy efficient, redoing the infrastructure, doing things that are more energy efficient. There's also apparently going to be some kind of tax breaks for making your home energy efficient, which interests me, because it would be nice if my house retained heat in any reasonable capacity.
Yeah, it would be nice if my house retained cold in any reasonable capacity. Like, I think a lot about what you said about the sort of theme of my house being gone to seed opulence. Like, it's got really expensive windows, like double-pane windows with, the sort of, it's really noble gases or inert gases or whatever in the middle, but they're all, the seals have all decayed to the point where they're useless.
Hmm.
So they're just not working the way that they're supposed to be. So, I keep thinking, it would save us a lot of money to get new windows in the house, but then I think it would cost a fucking fortune to get new windows in the house.
Yeah.
Because there's some windows. So it's like, what do you do?
You should...
Maybe I have to figure out something. Yeah.
Yeah, some kind of portal from my office into your house.
Yeah, that would be just being able to move energy at a distance.
Yeah. Time shifted, too. Like, if I could send you the temperature in my office right now, and you could use that all summer long.
Yeah. My uncle built a house in Illinois, and he did this thing. I don't remember if I've talked about this on the radio before, so apologies to the listeners if you've heard this already. He did this thing where he dug a well way down into the ground, and if you get low enough, the temperature is always 60 degrees.
Yeah.
Right? And he's got some sort of methane in pipes that he pumps in and out of that area. And so he's just got this sort of area in his house of air that is always 60 degrees, that he heats based on that and cools based on that.
Hmm.
And apparently, I was reading about this as a thing, and it's it's just starting to become, reasonable for small businesses to do stuff like this, but it's still too expensive for private homeowners. And I don't know if he just did it himself, and so it wasn't super expensive, or if it was super expensive, and he just thought it was cool enough to do, or what the deal is. But I thought that was interesting. Yeah, if you could just get it to be, if you could get it to always be spring, that would be a good, good deal too.
Maybe we could actually support climate change until it gets to the point where the climate's really pleasant. And just have all of the climate change mitigating stuff ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as we hit that perfect point where it's maybe 75 degrees, 85 in the sun, just flip that switch.
Right.
Get on that, science.
Istanbul wrote, you put the copied monster on the ground in front of you and look up it in horror as a full-sized triffid emerges from the sheet of spooky putty. Really? And look up it? Yeah, because... The spooky putty sheet is actually an old woman's skirt.
Yep.
So you look up it in horror. Yeah, I fixed that. That was in my K-mail. I fixed everything that was in my K-mail.
Oh, did you see ThinkGeek is now selling a mixtape memory stick?
No.
It's like a little USB drive big enough to hold exactly, roughly 60 minutes of MP3s at a certain compression. But the case is like an old cassette case. And it's meant to write the track listing on it and little liner notes and stuff. But yeah, so for $16 a piece, we can get our mixtape Jones. I always use the 90-minute tapes though, because
I always did use the 90-minute tapes too.
60 minutes isn't enough to express my musical tastes.
There was this whole art. There were all of these things that I feel like in. Because I didn't really notice this until I dated this girl from Chicago who had been into the sort of local punk scene there for a long time. There were all kinds of things that were just little recordings of things that, like, made it onto one mixtape and then just sort of spread around virally. Just, you know, funny sections of sounds and, like, clips from TV shows and stuff and just random little audio blips that would go when you were like, oh, okay, I want to use every last second of this tape.
Yeah.
That was awesome. It would be fascinating to have, like... It's weird the extent to which the internet will give you perfect knowledge of some things and throw into sharp relief all of the things that you'll just sort of never understand. Being able to track, like, the spread of things like that, where they came from, like, who first put them on a tape, and, you know, over how many generations of tapes, how they spread, would be really fascinating, I think. But, can't ever know.
Nope.
Unless they perfect that technology where you can, like, look at the state of every atom in the universe and just sort of interpolate what happened to lead to that point.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm sure we'll have that in a couple of years. Get that nailed down. Let's see.
Like Lore's thing where why bother having your head frozen if you trust that they're going to have technology that can bring your head back to life? Why not trust that they're eventually going to have technology that they can just sort of like pick up your energy signature echo or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
So you set up a website where you can sign up for that. Let's see. Hey, it's 7:47. How does your kid sleep? I didn't even think about that, because it's going to be pretty late when you're doing the radio show, right?
Yeah, but generally at night it's a 3-hour sleep cycle for the moment, which will get longer over time. But he tends to, you know, so we try and stay awake until 11 or midnight, feed him, change him, put him to sleep, and then he wakes up at 3 or 4, and we do it again, and then the next time he wakes up, it's light outside, so we don't feel like we've been up all night.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's like he sleeps for 3 and 4 hours at a stretch throughout the evening. It's really not as bad as I thought it would be, based on, you know, everybody telling me that it was going to be really rough. I think partly not having to get up in the morning and being able to nap in the afternoon if I want to.
Yeah, that's got to help. I feel like that varies a lot from child to child too.
Mm-hmm.
My parents tell me that I basically never woke up in the night at all. There was hardly ever a time when they had to get up when they wouldn't have normally been awake. Maybe my mom just tells me that to be polite or whatever. Badger says, did you guys know that you have an entry on GameFAQs? Neither did I. No, I did. There's. I feel like there's a handful of very outdated documents on there. It would be really hard to write a KOL fact that was like a single text file.
Yeah.
Scully, he says, what's the proper thing to do when a friend doesn't like the Sandman comics? I've got him tied up, but I need to do something to him before he's missed.
It's really hard to get somebody into it that doesn't want to get into it. So I would just tell them you're doing it wrong and walk away whistling. Although, you know, maybe grab one of the collections that's more short story-ish and start them on those. Like the Midsummer Night's Dream, Ramadan, just the little single-issue arcs are maybe enough to suck somebody in. I feel like the problem with getting people into Sandman is Preludes and Nocturnes is kind of the weakest part of the story.
Is that the first?
Yeah, the very first book. Because it has the characters from the DC Universe are in there. Because it was before they took it off to Vertigo. So it was. He thought at that point that he was writing something that was going to play to fans of superhero comics, so he needed to make it fit with, right, like Superman and Batman and Martian Manhunter and stuff.
I didn't mind it. So part of it
no,
is
no, but it is the
that,
weakest link, I would say, in the story.
I don't know. I think there were definite. But, I mean, I guess the whatever the one is that's like in the apartment complex with the face nailed to the wall.
Uh-huh.
That story was better. A Game of You, is that the?
Uh huh.
Yeah. But it's weird because I don't really know how they're divided up because I'm just reading them in these massive tomes.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is pleasant. I gotta say. That is an awesome way to go through them. You know
they're
what?
They're so big,
yeah.
And that is just great.
Hmm. Hard to read in the bathroom, but yeah.
Yeah, I've been reading them like while I sit out and smoke cigars. Yeah. I tried for a long time to read. Like, I still haven't gotten through the Far Side collection that my mom got me like 5 years ago because I couldn't. Like, comics, I tend to read in the bathroom, and I just can't. I cannot read that. Because those books are, like, significantly bigger than the Sandman books.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Calvin and Hobbes set are just enormous.
Can't read them on the toilet.
You know what?
You really need, like, a lectern, you know?
Right.
With nothing else on it but, like, maybe a candlestick.
To get somebody into Sandman who's really resisting it, get them the first book, but start them with the last chapter.
What's the last chapter?
Just him sitting in front of the fountain in Rome after he's done everything, and just his conversation with death. Mm. That's really where the series hits its stride, I think.
I honestly liked the way that it started. I remember at some point at being at somebody else's house, and I'm like, oh, hey, a Sandman comic. Is this any good? And he was like, yeah, you should totally read it. And I picked it up, and it was I believe, an individual book, right? One of the actual regular comics, as opposed to a collection.
Mm.
And I picked it up, and I was like, I don't really understand what happened. The problem that I used to have with comics is that I would pick them up, and they would immediately give me that feeling of, like, I have no fucking idea what is going on in this. I don't know who these people are. And this book, since it is, you know, 40th of 99 or whatever, is not telling me who these people are.
Yeah.
And I also had a problem that I cannot figure out when this went away for me, but I could not figure out what order to read the panels in.
Hmm.
And I don't know if I just discovered that in some cases it doesn't matter, or...
Or did you read Understanding Comics?
I did, but I don't remember anything about it.
So you just subliminally absorbed Understanding Comics from the book, and now you know how to...
Maybe I did, yeah. I remember, you know, I mean, I remember the whole, like, some kind of graph with different kinds of, like, faces in various levels of abstraction.
Uh-huh.
Understanding Comics was another one of those, like, you know, this did not change my life. It was a little labored. Like, I feel like every one of the chapters in that book could have been a really dense page.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know. Got nothing against the guy. Or the book, even.
Right.
Kazaa says, hey, JNS, ever thought of making it so that when you construct the lewd deck of cards, it gives you temporary blindness for an adventure? That's kind of funny.
Hmm.
To give you hairy palms.
We don't want to... The last message we want to send out to people playing our game is that masturbation is a bad thing.
What? That's the first message I want to send out.
So
you better be ready.
So there's more for you?
Right. You should get those Mormon guides to teaching your kids not to masturbate.
God, I read some of that, like, man.
Because you'll have you'll need to have that conversation with your son pretty early on.
Yeah, I'm thinking 5 or 6.
Boys are going through puberty earlier because of all the hormones in milk.
Yeah. So I'm guessing he's going to hit puberty around about 6 months.
Yeah. Bree says, thanks for talking about Dominion on the Thursday show. Yeah, Dominion, I don't know when that was. That must have been the previous Thursday show. Dominion is a pretty cool game. I would recommend picking it up. to you, Mr. Skullhead.
Oh, right.
It's kind of, it's interesting. It's like, it's, part of the reason that I like it is because it takes the parts of Magic the Gathering that I like and turns them into a lot more straightforward, accessible, playable game.
Hmm.
Whereas the parts of Magic that I like are looking at the cards and figuring out what they do and constructing a deck. Dominion's like overall game mechanic is very novel, I think, in the games that I've seen, at least. It's just this kind of standalone thing. It's good fun.
Is it a board game then?
It's a card game. Yeah. It is just cards, but it's not like a collectible card game. It's just a box. It's a box that comes with cards and slots for you to store the cards in. You start out with like stacks of 10 identical cards, and you sort of like, you have a deck that you are constantly cycling through, and what you're doing is using resources to add new cards to that deck that allow you to do, you know, sort of build victory points and stuff.
Hmm.
But when you acquire a resource, you're not acquiring that resource so much as acquiring the chance to draw that resource.
Okay.
It's a little difficult to describe, but once you've played it once, it just totally makes sense. It's very straightforward, and it's pretty fun. It goes pretty quick. It's like 2 to 4 players.
Yeah, to play around with that.
I don't know how often do you guys still have your game nights?
Yeah, we haven't played Arkham in a while, but it's still out there. It's more likely to do Catan than Arkham, just because it's quicker. Did I ever convince... Did we fail to convince you that Arkham is worth playing when we played it at Gen Con?
No, I enjoyed it. I still think that I would enjoy it more if 3/4 of what was going on was being done by a computer.
Yeah, I kind of think I would love to see somebody do with that what people have done with, like, Catan and even down to Monopoly. Not really make a computer game out of the board game, but just put the entire board game in a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that make a lot more sense.
I mean, I don't know that I would enjoy... Like, I guess what I kind of want is, like... What I want is a table that is a computer screen that knows where I have put the physical pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I basically... Like, what I would do is a game where I had pawns that represented me and like dice to roll, I would have everything else be handled by the computer. If I didn't actually have to have like cards that I was hiding in my hand or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, it would just be nice if I didn't have to like calculate my attack values every time I'm fighting something. And I feel like while the way that they do the sort of monster AI in Arkham Horror is interesting, the just sort of rules for who moves when and who moves where.
Right.
It is tedious to actually do. I feel. Anyway, Barry says, while looking for a copy, I ran across Brett Spielvelt at www.brettspielvelt.de. It is an MMO of sorts which centers around playing board games such as Dominion, Carcassonne, Settlers, and many others. I figured I'd point the site out to you guys as it seems up your collective alleys. It's up our alleys, and I hope it's up yours. Don't let the German domain scare you away. Much is in English, and there are many English players. I don't want to play with any dirty Englishmen.
Yeah, we only want American players.
My problem... I am bad at games, and the idea of playing Settlers of Catan online is a lot like the idea of, like, I don't know, playing dodgeball in high school, right?
Hmm.
Like, it's not that it isn't fun, it's that it isn't fun to lose all the time. And I feel like playing Settlers against people who are into Settlers, like, I don't think that I've ever played a game of Settlers of Catan where I did not come in last.
Huh. That's confusing to me, because I think you're way better at at strategy games like that than I am.
And you think?
I frequently win, yeah.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm just playing them with people who aren't as good at video games as me, even.
Maybe you're... Or board games, even.
Yeah,
people who aren't
whatever.
As good at remembering the difference between video games and board games. Maybe you're using some sort of Smash Brothers Mario Party strategy.
Their strategy to...
Rydette 42 says, why can't we roll the towel into a whip? It's no harder than making it into a cape. I'm surprised we... Can you not? I don't remember how anything in this game works. Towel. What? Why is the towel followed in the item table by the guy made of bee pollen?
You just said towel as if you were someone trying to... I was going to say as if you were Charlton Heston, but really it was more somebody talking like Charlton Heston. Towel.
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 So, it's a turban. It's a concrete fedora. No, it's a turban, it's a cape, it's a skirt. It's a toothbrush. Who did this?
It's a toothbrush?
Yeah, the toothbrush is in the, like, which was like a fucking Halloween candy, was in the middle of all of the items that the towel folds into.
I didn't do it.
Man. Fineldar says, you guys should put some Chinese food into the game. It takes three fullness, but restores two over the course of 40 adventures, or something like that. Enemy Lasagna suggesting that a ray of tartar sauce do extra damage against the fish. Of the Hill people asking if KOL was going to do anything groovy for the Bush-Obama handoff tomorrow. Can we maybe vote on a new king? Yeah. We avoid politics.
Yeah. And Star Wars aside, you can't fucking vote on a king. I'm just saying.
Did they vote on a king in Star Wars?
Queen. Queen Amidala was a democratically elected queen.
I see. They don't vote on the queen in England. The queen just doesn't have any power.
Yeah. Well, there are, the queen is just a long line of inbred royals.
I see.
She has always been.
Fixing the punctuation on the quest log bits about the Crim Bomination. Fixed. So Istanbul, thank you for pointing that out. Russer Butter says, so pretty much everything else is now multi-usable. Why not oyster eggs? You know, I went through and made a handful of oyster eggs multi-usable today because one of the things in my K-mail was an old bug report about all of the oyster eggs that were marked as HP or MP restoratives by virtue of being marked that way were multi-usable from the skills page. And it was happily multi-using them, taking away all of the spleen that they took up, and not actually giving you more than one's worth of stats. In HP and MP, so that was pretty cool. I don't think it comes up that often, because, you know, you don't get that many of them. ROV says, are there any plans for different multiplayer dungeons like Hobopolis? Are there? And how?
And so can you. Yes. Boy, that didn't help.
You okay?
Like, I have to clear my throat really loud. I'll muffle my microphone by grabbing it with my hand.
I heard you clear your throat, too.
Yeah, so that failed on multiple levels, really.
I've been all, like, froggy for the last few days. I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah, I've been like that only for the last few months.
Everybody here has, like, half a cold. It's like nobody's sick enough to be, like, I'm sick, but everybody's congested. Furtive Wound says, is there a joke in the tavern about how you need to pass the bar to be a lawyer?
That sounds like an Armac joke. That has the stench of Armac about it.
You mean like a really funny joke?
Right, yes. Of the kind that Armac
makes. From a sense of humor that you have a great deal of respect for.
Right, yes.
Man.
That sounds like one of those jokes that I've frequently chuckled, spent many a happy hour chortling at, that Armac makes.
I see. You're a mean dude. Cyber34 says, have you ever thought about having the next clan dungeon be similar to those instances in World of Warcraft that retell certain important points in history, like the culling of Strathholm, for example? Something like being able to relive the time Juan Chanto Sanchez made a giant clone army of himself, the army of Juan, and mm-hmm. how he was overthrown by Frank of Vivala or something. Yeah, you know, we could do a Cola Wars clan dungeon.
So some kind of time continuum thing? I don't play Warcraft.
Yeah, World of Warcraft, but, like, there's this cave with all these different time portals in it where important events from history are being, like, sort of going into the dungeon is the equivalent of, like, going back in time to, like, make sure on behalf of the people who are trying to keep the space-time continuum straight that things happen the way that they're supposed to. So it's like there's one faction of time travelers who's trying to fuck everything up, and then another faction of time travelers who's sending you in to prevent it from happening. It's interesting. I mean, it's basically a way for them to, like, sort of reuse a lot of the stuff that they designed for the Warcraft first-person strategy, real-time strategy games. It's a real-time shooter.
You know, a turn-based first-person shooter would be kind of interesting.
You know, I mean, Fallout 3 has a little bit of turn-based first-person shooter in it. It is interesting. Fallout 3 is fucking great, by the way. It's a good game. Ziggy Zagnut says, "Dude, you forgot my birthday. Now Obama is in charge and I will never get the gun I wanted. Also, fish tits for the win." Man, you're as useless as tits on a fish. The boar fish.
Tits on a fish bull. On a bicycle.
On a bull. Is it tits on a bull or tits on a boar?
I don't know. I think it's tits on a pig. With lipstick on them.
Terrible says, "Hey guys, I just took a bottle of sake and refined it into a bad pun. Booyah!" Yeah, that's a joke I've been wanting to make for years. Finally put the sake in.
I do like jokes like that. I think that PowerPoint that you sent me had something about it. Things that rhyme visually, but not... Like, that's a visual pun that doesn't really translate.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah.
That PowerPoint thing.
You sent me that slideshow about video games and absurdist art and...
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want people to get the impression that I'm sending people PowerPoints.
Yeah, he didn't make a PowerPoint presentation so that we could synergize our P2P eyeballs.
No, it was just a presentation that somebody had done that was... It wasn't even that, like... It wasn't like, oh yeah, here are some good ideas that we should pay attention to. It was just kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Right. His assertion that, like, Tetris is the last new thing. I don't know. VKK Hamul says, "What program does Jick use to draw the art for KOL? I use the program inside my brain that tells my arm to pick up an ink pen. Gotta talk like this when I'm telling this story for whatever reason."
What the hell kind of voice is that?
I don't know. It just keeps changing every time I try to think about it. It's got some George Bush in there, I guess. So.
There's a little bit of Biff from Back to the Future. One of the Biffs. No. I watched the Back to the Future trilogy yesterday.
All of them?
Yeah, that's well over Saturday and Sunday, yeah. Pretty much lying in bed with a sleeping child on my chest watching Back to the Future.
I see.
It's
I watched...
That shit is good. I was almost surprised at how good all three of those movies are.
Really?
And kind of forgotten classics, I think.
I don't think that I have ever managed to see Back to the Future 2 in its entirety since the first time. As I recall, it got kind of boring at the end.
Oh, go!
Like, it was interesting in the beginning when he first got to the future.
Oh, go back and look at it again, because the end is the part where he's inside of the first movie, pretty much.
Huh.
And it's some of the scenes from the first movie at different angles.
I see.
Yeah. No, yeah, check those out again. I think you'll be surprised.
I feel like I've seen the first one so many times that I don't really ever need to see it again. And the third one, that was that just fucked up story from when I was a kid where I saw it at the movie theater in Flora and they had fucked up and put the reels in the wrong order.
Oof.
And it took a long time to notice it because it's a fucking time travel movie.
Right.
But after like 45 minutes in, we were like, me and the people that I were with, like, what the fuck is going on in this movie? And then realized what had happened when there was just this instantaneous cut to something that was obviously the follow-up to something that had cut away to a non sequitur before. And then, I don't know that I've, as a result of that, I don't know that I've ever actually seen that one all the way through. It basically entirely takes place in the Old West, right?
Yeah, it's the one that doesn't have any time travel in it.
Except, like, in the very beginning and the very end.
Yeah. It's like the second one, they just kind of went nuts with what all can we do with time travel in this kind of zany comedy. And then the third one, it's just, we already have these
characters in the Old West.
Well, I thought it was like, we have these characters and we have these tropes from the first two movies, and we can kind of let the characters carry the movie.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's good stuff. I was trying to think of something that... a recent movie that does that kind of, like, whimsical, but funny and serious and sci-fi thing. Like the tone of Iron Man, I guess, is the same tone as Back to the Future.
Huh. And there's not a lot. I don't know anything about Iron Man.
You should see Iron Man.
Who is it?
It's good.
Who's in it? Who's the main character?
Robert Downey Jr.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
I liked him in Tropic Thunder. Did you see Tropic Thunder?
I still haven't, no.
I'm curious as to what you would think of it. I feel like there are some things that would very much rub you the wrong way about it, but I'm wondering if the movie overall would be able to overcome those in your estimation. You want to take a music break? Because I have to pee.
Yeah, we should probably do that. Back in 15, folks.
We'll be right back. Yeah, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 parlor. I wish I was like 6'9" so I could get with Yoshi, cause she don't know me, but Yoshi's really fine. You know I see her all the time, everywhere I go. Even in my dreams, I got scheme of ways to make her mine. Cause I know she's living fat. Her boyfriend's tall and he plays ball, so how am I gonna compete with that? Cause when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked, and in some cases never picked at all. So I just lean up on the wall, but sit up in the bleachers with the rest of the girls who came to watch their man ball. That ball, I never understood. Black or the dots get the fly girls, and me, I hit the hood rats. I tell them scat. Skittles, kebabble, got hit with a bottle, been in the hospital for talking that mess. I confess it's a shame when you living in a city that's the size of a box and nobody knows your name. Glad I came to my senses, like when Quick got sick to my stomach, overcoming my thoughts of me and her together, right? So when I asked out, she said I wasn't a type. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller, I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller, I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I had a brand new car, so far I got this hatchback, and everywhere I go, yo, I get slapped at. And when I'm in my car, I'm laid back. I got an 8-track and a spare tire in the backseat, that's flat. And do you wanna know what's really whack? See, I can't even get a date, so what you think of that? I heard that prom night is a bomb night with a hood rat, chicken old tight, or really though, I'm figure out when in my car, I can't even get a hello. Well, so many people wanna cruise Crenshaw on Sunday, one day I'ma have to get in my car and go. You know, I take the 110 until the 105. Get off on Crenshaw, tell my homies look alive, cause it's hard to survive, and you're living in the concrete jungles, and these girls keep passing me by. She looks fly. They say, my, my, my. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. Hey, I wish I had my way, cause every day would be a Friday, and you can even speed on a highway. I would play ghetto games, name my kids ghetto names, Little Mookie, Big Al, Lorraine. No, you know that's on the real. So if you down on your luck, then you can know just how I feel. Cause if you don't want me around, see I go simple, I go easy, I go Greyhound. Hey, hey, you, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Ah, yes, ain't that fresh? Everybody wants to get down like that. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller, I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller, I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller, I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller.
And we're back.
Hey.
Hey,
You know what I'm kind of tired of?
What are you tired of?
For the last, like, week or so,
Every
website that I've gone to has had the same fucking banner ads, which is like a before and after picture of some dude's, like, gut hanging over his belt. I'm fucking tired of that picture. I'm tired of looking at my web browser and seeing some dude's gut hanging over his belt and then some skinny dude next to him.
Yeah.
That's a totally different fucking dude.
See, I keep getting that, but it's a picture of... Sometimes it's just someone who's obviously 5 months pregnant, and then someone who's not 5 months pregnant. Or it's somebody who's very obviously just given birth, and then that same person, you know, like, a couple of weeks later.
Are you sure you don't just see pregnancy and having just given birth everywhere you look?
Not everywhere. That would be awkward, to say the least. I did notice that Barack Obama, in his inauguration speech, he did appear to be about 3 or 4 months gone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, you know, he not only will he be the first black man to be in the White House, he'll be the first dude to give birth in the White House.
Really? Are you sure he's not just a woman with a dick sewn on him?
Possibly.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure of that. He's way too good at basketball to be a woman. That would be the weirdest thing for me to be sexist about. Like,
right.
It's not that I'm not sexist.
Just you don't give a shit about sports?
Yeah.
My comeback to that was, he's obviously too bad of a dancer to be black, but I wasn't sure if that was too far or not.
Huh.
So if I frame it in, this is what I was going to say, but I was way too sensitive to say it.
Right. We had a funny moment at the bar the other day. And again, I can't remember if I talked about this on the radio or not. I'm turning into a fucking old man. it somehow came up that we were talking about the Beastie Boys, and my wife talked about, like, sort of growing up around black people and not really understanding why black people like the Beastie Boys. And then it was a conversation about things that black people did and didn't like. And I said something about, we were listening to a Beastie Boys song and there was some reference to Alfred E. Newman, and I was like, see? Reference to Mad Magazine. Black people love Mad Magazine. And then one of the guys that is like a sort of regular that we hang out with at Pranksters was like, I think that black people actually prefer Cracked, which kind of funny. And then I made the joke that, you know, Cracked was actually published by the CIA. We're sensitive. See, the thing is, you could make that joke without the, like, Cracked crack connection.
Right.
It just wasn't necessarily racist, right?
No. We would never be racist.
Yeah, that wasn't racist.
Okay, what the fuck? You know those MVU ads where you can make a little Bratz doll-looking icon and go chat online? Apparently you can now be a... This banner ad seems to indicate that you can now be a vampire in MVU and bite people on the neck.
Huh.
So it's like Facebook, only graphical.
Why is everyone on Facebook a vampire?
Thankfully, I've ignored enough of those applications that now when I log on to Facebook, it just looks like nothing has happened. So instead of, like, logging on and 30 people want you to be a vampire and a mobster and a hippie and join their party
and snowball at you.
Yeah. I just get nothing.
I wonder if that whole viral game is not has not reached a point of saturation.
You know what they should?
Man.
If you're going to make a viral game, make it a game.
Some of those are games, right? And I feel like the ones that are the best games are not necessarily the most popular, is the problem.
Hmm.
Right? Because, like, you know, that Dungeons & Dragons Tiny Adventures or whatever, that is a game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there is a very skeletal KOL-like game in there with very comparatively little content as far as I can tell. You know, the vampire game that Greg Costigan, the guy that did Toon Pen and Paper RPG,
mm-hmm.
him and one of the guys from Infocom, Steve Moretzky, I think, made a MySpace game that is, it is basically like a very content-light version of KOL where you are a vampire, but the game, basically, you level up, but the real way that you level up is by, like, recruiting other people to play the game, right? Mm-hmm. And it's... I cannot bring myself to actually bother anyone.
Yeah.
So, I'm a very low level. What it makes me want to do is create a bunch of additional MySpace accounts.
Now, see, then you reach a new level of sad.
Well,
not only am I playing this game, this retarded game, but I'm cheating.
Well, the thing is, there might be some interesting things in the game. The game might have some lessons to teach me, but I will never see it because of the way that the content is restricted. You can donate, right? You can send the money. You get some of these, like, favor points by leveling up, but if you donate, probably like $5, you get enough favor points to recruit a zombie who counts as a friend, but is not a real person.
That's fairly prejudiced against zombies.
I guess so. you can recruit old Russian women to give you money. I don't exactly know what the fuck. It's like you pay them and then they pay you back. And you can get a hot dog vendor, but you have to have at least one other vampire on your team to be able to deal with the rigors of managing a hot dog vendor.
You know, when I think about vampires, I think about hot dog vending.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely this, you know, like everything is vampires versus werewolves, right?
Yeah. For some reason. I don't know why they can't get along.
Because Underworld was so good.
Yeah, you know what? Can somebody please step in and fucking save vampires? Please. Somebody make a movie where there are vampires who drink blood, who can't go out in sunlight, who are allergic to garlic and crosses, and are fucking scary and kill people.
I mean, 30 Days of Night, right? Like,
yeah, I didn't see 30 Days of Night.
I didn't either. There.
But that was right. That was our chance, and we blew it. And now vampires are just done. It's like the two big vampire things right now, True Blood and Twilight, are both vampires that. Well, one is vampires in the South that don't drink blood, and one is vampires who are extraordinarily gay.
Some of them drink blood. At least the ones in True Blood can't go out in the sun.
Yeah. They don't sparkle.
That was pretty funny.
One of my wife's good friends has gotten into Twilight, and apparently her boyfriend makes fun of her mercilessly for it, so we're not allowed to talk about it around her. But I said, like, okay, but what's with the glittering in the sun? She's like, no, it's called the glamour, the glowing, or the ass-fucking, or whatever. And it's really interesting the way she explains how this works, and, like, no. There is no explanation that justifies sun doesn't kill us, it makes us sparkly.
I did not know that Bad Gods comic was actually a reference to something.
Yeah.
I thought that's what you were talking about.
No, that the Bad Gods comic is a reference to Twilight.
Huh. Well, that makes sense. See, here's where being in our particular position, where it's sort of our job to be aware of pop culture, sort of starts to backfire. We've gotten so old that we hate pop culture.
Right.
Yeah. Do you hear that, Mr. Scullett? I think it's our impending irrelevance.
No, I think that what you're hearing is it retreating into the distance after having run us over.
We're always going to be able to make jokes that people our age think are funny.
Right.
So, that's...
Well, I think the hope for the future lies not in trying to enjoy a lot of that stuff, but enjoying what we do and making fun of what we don't.
Right.
So, like,
right.
I know enough about Twilight to hate it. Pretty much.
You were right, man. I picked up a copy, opened it to a random page, and it was like literally, I had not even finished the sentence before I found something that was just laughably bad.
Yep. You know, people. There are a whole lot of people that went to my high school who are on my Facebook who are all into Twilight. And some of our players are into Twilight, which, yeah. And they were kind of giving me shit because I was saying, if you're not a 14-year-old girl, why are you reading this? And they go, well, you read Harry Potter. I said, okay, yeah, and I know it's hard to make this argument, but Harry Potter is well written. It's good. I mean, yeah, it's aimed at 14-year-old boys, say, but you don't have to be a 14-year-old boy to enjoy it. Twilight, you have to not have read enough to know what bad writing is to enjoy that shit. Or you have to go, the writing is terrible, but the story is interesting enough that I'm going to keep reading it anyway.
What's weird is I feel like the people who read Twilight now are the people who were, like, reading Stephen King when we were in high school, who the sort of, like... You know, literati will say, yeah, this is the kind of person that Stephen King appeals to. And it's weird to me that those people can't tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, even Anne Rice, at least Anne Rice can compose a sentence. You know, her crime is, I feel like, being boring in my mind, as opposed to being a bad writer.
I couldn't even finish her books that were about spanking.
Yeah. That's really saying a lot.
That is saying a hell of a lot.
You know, I read the first few... like, I grabbed one... somebody that I knew in high school was reading some Anne Rice book. It was one of the ones in the series that Interview with a Vampire was in.
Hmm.
And I read, like, the first four or five pages of it. And it was about a vampire who had gone into, like, hibernation and heard music vibrating through the ground and was like, hey, sounds like there's something going on up there, and then decides to, you know, eat some worms and then eat some mice and, you know, right, slowly work his way out of the ground or whatever. And, like, that was pretty cool, you know? That was, like, interesting imagery, and, like, you think, like, wow, yeah, that would be what it was like for a vampire in that situation. You know, and you know, the first few pages of that seemed okay, so I'm like, you know, I'm going to read Interview with a Vampire. And it was just fucking horrible.
I still haven't finished it. I've started it three or four times, and
yeah, me too.
Now I know I'll never finish it because I'm not about to start it again. There's too many books out in the world.
I like the movie a lot.
Hmm.
I don't know that I would like it if I saw it again now. You know, I saw it when I was like 19.
I watched the movie recently, and it holds up.
Does it?
Hmm.
Fucking, yeah. My wife is into True Blood. I can't, and my wife is listening, so I can't make fun of it too much.
Right.
Although, you know, it is pretty stupid. I think she would acknowledge that. It is very good at the cliffhanger, you know, like sort of comically so. Yeah, the accents are awful, and everybody's accent is awful in a different way. It's like, there's a lot of tits in it, but you just don't care. which takes a lot for me to not care about tits.
Have you seen Showgirls?
Yeah.
That'll get you not caring about tits real quick.
Yeah, my wife is a big fan of Showgirls, too.
Ironically?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because I could see, like, somebody...
It's so bad, it's good. I mean,
I watched it a couple of times because it was entertaining to watch it with different people and make fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't see, like, fuck yeah, that's a great movie, it's a misunderstood classic. I think anybody who said that with a straight face, I would have serious doubts about.
No, I think she had the kind of... I mean, there was, like, an AV Club article about, like, Showgirls specifically is so bad that it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure how I feel about so bad it's good at this point, you know? I never really got the whole camp thing.
That's true. Except the movie Ernest Goes to Camp.
Right. That's, yeah. I had a lemonade stand, and in our day of selling lemonade, we made enough money for all of us to go see Ernest Goes to Camp.
Hmm.
And we did.
I remember crying during Ernest Goes to Camp.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember why?
The song, the Gee, I'm Glad It's Raining, he was just so sad. I shit you not, we were watching it on video at somebody's house, and I got all sniffly.
Wow, you were gay as shit, even as a child.
Poor Ernest. I gotta see what year that came out, to see just how embarrassing that's...
Right.
Is.
I feel like we were probably 9.
Yeah. See, okay, so your wife says, wait, so a movie with the naked Gina Gershon is bad in your book? Yes. And the reason why I saw it, and I drove 2 hours to see that movie. And I to see it in the theater because of Elizabeth Berkley and Gina Gershon. I was like, I want to see these women from every possible angle without any clothes on. And it got boring like 20 minutes in. And it was so poorly written and acted that it didn't even matter that they were naked and all up on each other. I mean, if you want to see something that's poorly written and acted and has naked women all up on each other, you can get hardcore porn, and then, you know, at least you're seeing more of what you were looking for.
Right. So I was 11 and you were 10.
Okay. Well, that's...
a little better.
That's reasonable.
The Doominator says, based on the radio conversations of you people, I've decided to listen to Ween, and after I heard the HIV song, I was hooked. Now see, the HIV song is a song that you would hear, and you would think, yep, Ween is exactly what I thought they were. Bunch of assholes with very little talent. You know. Maybe the reason that I have respect for Ween is because I just skip the songs that I think are stupid.
Hmm.
You know, and maybe the songs that are stupid are what give a lot of people that, like, maybe that's really what a lot of people feel like Ween is. And I'm just that asshole who's like, no, I only listen to their B-sides or whatever. Black Arrow says, what is your favorite They Might Be Giants song? Cabbage Town.
You know, I was going to unironically say, Am I Awake? So, Am I Awake or Since Around?
Really?
Yeah. Most of my favorite They Might Be Giants songs are B-sides.
I felt like that for a lot. Like, Welcome to the Jungle, I would say, was my favorite They Might Be Giants song for a long time. Unfortunately named, I guess. I don't know. I like See the Constellation, and which describes how you're feeling a lot. But Nothing's Gonna Change My Clothes is really, really good.
Where Your Eyes Don't Go.
Yeah.
I could pick a couple of favorite songs from every album.
Yeah. Really,
except The Else, because The Else had like two songs on it that made an impression.
I mean, Anna, I think that Anna Ang is probably their best song. I don't know if I feel like it's my favorite.
Well, by the way, speaking of They Might Be Giants and bands that aren't any good, that are tangentially connected to them. I was listening to old Chicken Skullhead shows while doing house stuff, and there was one that started with a Corn Mo song, and it just all came rushing back.
All of your hatred of Corn Mo.
I was like, oh my god, I had forgotten how terrible that opening act was.
You know, he just spoke to me. I'm sorry,
man. Really did. You almost hit me when I said that, Jesus Christ, that was the worst thing I've ever fucking seen. And you were like, he is doing exactly what we are, and he's doing it well. And by God, and you got all teary. No, I think you're kind of drunk.
Yeah. Well, he was. Asshole.
It struck me as funny that somebody who was basically Meatloaf with an accordion really connected with you in a meaningful way.
But it was his speech. It wasn't the songs.
Yeah.
It was fucking inspiring.
Terrible songs. It's inspiring that somebody with no talent could get enough ironic hipster support that he would be able to open for They Might Be Giants, I suppose.
Okay.
It's the same thing with Wesley Willis. It's like, do we really think this guy is doing something interesting musically, or are we pretty much making fun of him by pretending that he's really good?
I'm not pretending that he's really... Like, my experience of that show... I saw Wesley Willis live. I think that he was having a tremendous amount of fun, and 90% of the audience was having a tremendous amount of fun listening to him and talking to him and being nice to him, sort of the way you would with a little kid, but still, you know, it was a very, very positive thing. There were a handful of assholes there who were very much making fun of him, and those assholes were, you know, being pretty comprehensively disdained by the people who were there to have a good time. So, you know, if it hadn't been for that experience, I would have thought, yeah, maybe. I mean, it's entertaining to listen to, you know, because it's not just random. It is like, you know, the things going on in crazy people's heads are frequently very interesting.
I actually read some of his lyrics before I heard the music, and I was like, huh, that is an interesting glimpse into somebody's head. But then I heard it, and it's just, I don't know why we're celebrating this, really.
Are we? I mean,
I don't know that people are
like proselytizing Wesley Willis, you know? Like,
I don't know. There were.
But, you know, the same guy that sent me the copy of The Aeroplane Over the Sea. That basically, like, because I feel like at that point is when that album was sort of spreading out among everybody to the point where now everybody knows about it, right?
Yeah.
The same guy that sent me that album, that was the first, you know, me or anybody here had ever heard of it, was he sent me a Wesley Willis CD a couple of years before that. You know, like,
there were people like David Byrne and Wayne Coyne, you know, the kind of people on the real indie avant-garde fringe who were celebrating him as a genius, as a musical genius. And I think in that case, it is a naked emperor. It would be really interesting if the crazy schizophrenic dude was coming up with these brilliant pop songs. You know, well, that would be Brian Wilson. But
right, but I mean,
this
was just some dude who should be in Subway. Jello Biafra kind of became like a sort of, I don't know what you call it, a sort of benefactor of him,
mm-hmm.
right? And the thing is, like, I don't know that you can't say that he wasn't like onto something. Like, if that many serious musicians like what he's doing and are like fascinated by it, you know, it could be that he just tapped into some crazy version of what music is, like a sort of like, you know, just very distilled down to like, okay, this is what somebody with a just like a perfectly literal brain will look at a song and think, okay, this is what music is. It is a phrase repeated four times, you know, these sort of appropriate key changes. All of the songs are structurally totally normal songs, right? But they're like, I don't know. I'm not saying that he's a genius, but I will say that I can understand the fascination with him, and I don't think that it is coming from a, you know, wouldn't it be funny if this guy was a good musician, or haha, look at the retard trying to play a song, isn't he cute?
Right. I think that was definitely where they were at with Corn Mode, though.
Yeah.
Look at the retard playing a song. He was a really good accordion player. If all he had done was play backup for They Might Be Giants during that show, because that was terrific when they were going back and forth on the accordion, but he had to talk and sing and shout and kick a cymbal, and god yeah, damn it, that was the worst thing I've ever seen on a live stage. And I've seen some things.
I saw Marilyn Manson in concert. Early on, like before, when he didn't really know what he was doing yet. Because I've heard some Marilyn Manson songs that aren't like bad, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say that Marilyn Manson is bad, but like, Marilyn Manson touring in 1994 was pretty bad. Yeah. Man, you know, we wouldn't be us if we agreed about music, right?
Oh, that's true.
Like, our entire friendship vis-a-vis music is centered around, like, a handful of things that we just happen to both like, and a bunch of making fun of each other and arguing about other stuff, so...
What amuses me is stuff like REM, say, which you kind of introduced me to REM, and I went on to like way more of it than you did, pretty much.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think so. I think with They Might Be Giants, too, you could do a Venn diagram of, like, songs that we both like, songs that I like, songs that you like, and that middle section would be smaller than one would think.
Than either of the other sections?
Possibly.
I don't know. I was pretty obsessive about REM for a while.
Okay, so when was the last time we talked about the game?
Hell, I don't know.
This is going to be a really good night. This show is dedicated to our hardworking transcriptionists.
Yeah. You know, it'll just be a bunch of... It's going to be a couple of paragraphs of things in brackets. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're giving them a break.
Anybody who's interested in any of them... We'll listen to the show.
Pretty much, if we haven't done a show in a couple of weeks, our first show together is going to be like this.
And that's fine. We can do one question. Wait, this one isn't about our game, but it is about games. And simultaneous hiccup and belches. Fred Levi says, "Hey, Jick and/or friends, have you played any of the other Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People episodes? I've only ever heard you talk about the first one. I enjoyed them thoroughly. Hope they make a season 2. Man, I felt like such a dick." At GDC, I was talking to one of the guys Dave Grossman, who had worked on Maniac Mansion and stuff, and is either runs or is one of the lead guys for the company that's making those. And I was just like, hey, yeah, so yeah, I played that Strong Bad game, and here are all the things I didn't like about it. Like, I played it once. I sat down for about an hour playing it, and then I just never sort of wanted to pick it up again. And I didn't get any... Like, I like the idea of the episodic game. I like the idea of the Sam & Max games, but, like, right now I have 5 or 6 of those Sam & Max games. I'm like, oh, I can buy the whole season of them for $20. Whatever, I'll do that. And I played 2 of them over the course of, like, a year, and in that year they released 6 more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know those, even though they are, you know, comparatively short. The problem that I had with the Strong Bad game is that it was a particular style of humor that I like delivered with dramatically different pacing than the original stuff is delivered with. And so it was like, you know, this is funny, and it's a point-and-click adventure game, which... Every point-and-click adventure game is the same game. Like, I understand that people can draw comparisons between them and say, you know, well, okay, Space Quest, totally different thing than Grim Fandango. But it's the same game, it's just the content is different. And it's okay for you to like some content and not others. And so, a point-and-click adventure game, unless it is just like a ludicrously difficult one, like some... I had this fucking game when I was in high school that was like, they were trying to launch a series with some character, and it was like, you were in search of Elvis, Search for the King or something, I forget what it was, but it was a game that was just designed to sell hint books, because the puzzles were fucking impossible. They were just ridiculous, the shit that you had to do. Like, there was a point where you had this tiny version of Elvis that you had to tie some dental floss to from some different state than you found Elvis in, and for some reason you had to think to lower him into the drain of a hot tub. No indication that it was important, but somebody had dropped something down there. You had to send it, and I think it was like a comb. It wasn't like something important, you know? Because later on you need a fucking comb for something. So, like, you know, one of my favorite computer games ever, if not my favorite computer game, Loom. Just a point-and-click adventure. Hmm. Same game. But the way that the content was delivered in Loom was, it was beautiful, and it was really cut out for the medium. And the Strong Bad games, those jokes are designed for a rapid-fire, 2-minute experience that you get once a week. Not for 2 hours of game, right?
Yeah.
I feel kind of the same way about the way the content is delivered in the Penny Arcade games, but the Penny Arcade games have an RPG element that is sort of intrinsically satisfying in a way that, like, finding the particular rock to look under for the particular key to the particular door is not. Well, I would still really like to play the fucking second Penny Arcade game. I actually beat the first one. I played all the way through it, and it was good. And I bought the second one, and it just still won't fucking run on my computer.
Hmm.
And it's not like, you know, there's a post in the tech support forum for the game. This is also happening to several other people, and the devs last posted like 3 months ago.
Hmm.
So it's just like, what the fuck? I'd really like to play that game someday.
You should just
write still not talking about KOL though.
Yeah, you should write to them directly. Dear Gabe and Tycho, I am incredibly important, and I
do you know who I am? If I were you, I'd make this fucking game work.
Oh, here's an interesting idea. Ansema Ruaturoi says, is that something backwards? Am I missing something? No. Ansema Ruaturoi says, you could get an item after the desert part of the level 11 quest that can let you bypass Ultra Hydrated, like a llama pack. That'd be interesting to have something that you can equip that would keep you hydrated instead of having to keep going back to the oasis.
Once you've done the quest, I mean, can you pull it and skip all of that the next time around?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely, like, that's something that we definitely, like, sort of been talking about, the kind of, like, tedium and swappery, and how, you know, it is good content, but almost nobody likes it. So something ought to change there. But
Linguini Lad says, do you guys realize how much chaos and confusion resulted from that rerun you aired? Yeah, I'm sorry about that, but I guess Fusiliban's been out for the past couple of weeks, so it wasn't clear who was going to be on when it was time to hand off, or who I needed to ask to get that show covered. And I couldn't even feel feelings at that point. It's completely wiped out on that Monday night. So I thought it would be fun. I thought there was a very scant chance that anybody would think that it was a new show, but if people were confused, I guess that's funny. I don't know.
Ooh, first downloadable content for Fallout 3 comes out tomorrow. Severus tells me. I forgot about that. I'm pretty stoked, excited. Yeah, I thought it was funny that you played the old show. You told people. I mean, the system message said that it was old. I think a lot of people just said, because it made it onto the podcast. I didn't put it on our archive,
right.
So anybody who uses that, I didn't want to just make them download a copy of something that they either already had or was already somewhere else with a different file name. Are we done?
Oh, yeah, we are, huh? All right, we're out of here, folks. We'll see you next week.
All right, 99.
Yeah.